Welcome to Women in Power Active, an initiative started by UR Sportswear to empower women to find their own active adventure. I'm your host, Jacqueline Gross. Today is going to be a solo podcast. I am going to discuss the Orcas Island 50K. It will be a race report, and I just raced it this weekend. So I want to talk a little bit about like how it went, things leading up to it, and maybe some learnings that I had throughout this entire process. This is hopefully to encourage you also to try hard things and really enjoy the challenge of a new adventure. So for the first part, the pre-race, I like to prioritize running for the week prior to my race, especially doing these longer races. I know nothing is going to make it feel better, but it just kind of makes me know that I did everything that I possibly could. So instead of prioritizing, you know, work or other things, I really focus on my race, which I think is okay for just the week before your race. So I make sure I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. I'm making sure I drink like 3 water bottles a day, and I'm really good about that. And then I, you know, do all of my pre-race like lifting. So there's different workouts that I do that are trying to get me in shape and fit, and other ones that I do for mobility and like injury prevention. And so I pick things that I know will help me race hard and feel confident. A lot of it about your pre-race is just making yourself feel confident going into a race. And, you know, like my running is kind of really cut down. And it's really hard to remember that you don't need to go hard those days before your race, just like ease into your race. The hay is in the barn, so to speak, as my coach Nicole would say. And it's just, there's nothing more that you could do at this point that would make it, you're not going to get more fit in a week. You know, it's just everything that really makes you feel confident. That's really the key. Okay, so leading up to this race, training-wise, I did a lot of 800s, more than I usually do, but the trick was to kind of come at it where you're doing something on tired legs, and then you're going back and doing it again the next day. So I did 800s with very little rest, and then like the next day I would do a little bit of hill repeats. So my legs are already tired from the previous day, and then I'd go into hill repeats the next day. So even my long run, I would have like the next day I would do another run after my long run. So it was kind of just continuing that feeling of tired legs, and then just being able to, you know, still run hard or still get your body to do what you want it to do on tired legs, which I'm sure a lot of you know can be very difficult. And so that was kind of my training. I didn't have like as long training as I wanted. Like I did want like probably another month, but that's just how my life worked out. And I only had probably 2 months of maybe 2.5 months of like solid training, if you put it together. So usually I like to have like 3 months before, but you know what? Yeah, that was what it was. And so I didn't let that really bother me. I also had been coming from some downtime before that, so I wasn't running every day. So it felt a little bit like, talking about confidence, I felt a little less confident from that. But all of my training on tired legs, I just kind of drew from that and focused on the thing that I was doing well. So going into the race, so Orcas Island 50K is on Orcas Island. Obviously, you have to take a ferry to get there. And then you have to kind of schedule your ferry ride beforehand because it's going to get busy. Yeah. So planning out where you'd like to stay and what you have to do to get there. Personally, like, I don't know, I'm always one who likes to have an idea of what's going to happen or where I'm going to go so I can just like not worry about it. So I scheduled my ferry ride like way in advance and it was fine. Like, and then I was like, oh, should I get reservations going back? But that was fine. Didn't need them. Anyways, so ferry ride was beautiful going over there. It's a gorgeous island in Washington State. It's just so pretty. So one of the prettiest races I've done. Unfortunately, just like the Mount St. Helens race that I ran, it was very foggy and I couldn't see much on the overlooks. But anyways, so yeah, going to the ferry, booking your trip, getting that all ready beforehand. Yeah, this was supposed to have 85 feet of elevation. So climbing 8,500 feet, and it was supposed to have 8,500 feet down again. And I knew that going in, it was going to be a challenge because I know that I am just not very confident in hills. Even when I was in college running, I just remember like always having to get cut early for the, like if we're running workouts and I'd be like one of the, I mean, I was an 800 runner, but still like, I was like, oh, I want to, everybody says like hill work is like sprinting in disguise. And I'm a very good sprinter, but I just never was good at hills. So I was going into this knowing that I wasn't like ever that good at hills. So I was like trying to think positively about that, but I knew it was going to be a challenge. Like this race to me was like a challenge. Like it was going to be really steep inclines. And the 2 weeks before the race, it was like snowing and they had to cancel the 25K that was planned there because of snow on Mount Constitution and getting people on and off the ferry. And it was just really complicated. So I was really worried it was going to get canceled. And there was a chance of like hypothermia because it was like 30 degrees and rainy. But slowly but surely the race like or the weather changed and it was like better and better. And soon it was like 50s and raining, you know, it was like 30s rainy, 40s rainy, 50s rainy. I was like, okay, well, that's manageable. Like I've run in that before and I've been fine. So, you know, just the thought of hypothermia though is like just, I mean, people who are in hypothermia are very dumb and they decide that, you know, they should take their clothes off and stuff. And like, that's just how it is. But I was just worried about that. It was just an irrational fear that was in my back of my head. Like, I know at 50 and rainy, it's going to be fine. But the race director was still saying, like, this is hypothermia weather. And once you get up the top of Mount Constitution, it could be really rainy. So just like planning for that. And I think I really was not sure what I was going to wear. I ended up wearing shorts and a long sleeve under a raincoat with these like raincoat gloves. I don't know if that was the right thing. Honestly, I feel like at certain points of the race, I really wished I didn't have a raincoat on. I didn't want to take it off though, because it kept getting rainy and windy, especially when we like first started out. So I was like, do I take it off? I didn't end up taking it off the entire time. I just was like, whatever, this is what I'm wearing. I did take the gloves off though. And I guess like kind of going back to that, like getting there and like getting into the race, like I got to the race and I'm not like, you know, I hate this, but I was like, I had kind of a bad attitude in my head. Like I was really feeling insecure about the race because it was like so much hills. And I was like, oh man, I'm already know this is going to be really hard. Like, and that's why I do it. That's because I love it. But it's also like, I know I was like getting too ahead of myself and like getting onto the outcome. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to run slow and blah, blah, blah. And so I started running up the hill. And, you know, as it goes, started getting passed by people, which again, I always say is very hard for your ego if you're like running uphill and getting passed by people. And then It's on a road, so everybody can see you. So insult to injury. Like, oh man, can't keep up with these people. Obviously, everybody can see this. But I just, you know, I kept thinking back to, again, Patty Peoples, how she was talking about never giving up and like kind of counting yourself out of a situation. So I would have a flicker of like a bad attitude and I'd be like, no, you know, like this isn't over. It's not done. Like you can still run hard. And normally I kind of get to like the downhills and I'm like, I love downhills because I like to fly downhill. It's so fun, but you also have to be like me personally also have to be careful because sometimes I can overdo it. Not just like the fear of falling or slipping or sliding or tripping, but also the fear of feeling of like overdoing it physically. Like if I run really hard downhill, then I will kind of impede the ability to like run back uphill hard. Or walk uphill hard. It just like takes a lot out of you. So you kind of have to be really bouncy and loose. But at the same time, in this particular course, it was really rocky, slippery, and there was a lot of roots, and it was very technical. So I didn't feel confident running really hard downhill, which was really frustrating for me because I felt like, you know, my strategy was to run up the, or, you know, run as much of the hill as I could, walk part of it. And then once I got to the top, to run hard down. And when I got to the top of the first hill, I couldn't run that hard down. I mean, I wasn't going slow, but I definitely could have run. I normally run faster. And I think part of it was me being, you know, smart. Part of it was just that, you know, it was a little cold. So it was really rainy and cold when we started. So my muscles were a little cold. So that first descent was a little slower than I wanted it to be. And then, but I also was like, we are 3 miles into the race. Like you can calm down. It's not, you know, like the race isn't here. I kept in my head thinking the race starts at 21 miles. Like your goal today is to get to 21 miles and push up Mount Constitution. Like that was my goal. And that had been kind of my goal leading up to the race. I knew this race was going to be a challenge. It was not going to be a fast course. And I didn't know who was in the race. And we all run our own race. So that was my goal, was to just attack that last hill and run it hard and push it all the way to the finish. Like once I got 21 miles in, I wanted those last like 10 miles to be much more aggressive. So I was just like getting to 21 miles and feeling okay, like feeling like I could keep pushing it. So once I get after the first like bigger descent, we do keep climbing on and off. And there's some points where you have to walk because it's so steep, you really can't run. And a lot of the hills I was walking anyways, there was a lot of downed trees because it had stormed. And so, I mean, this is the thing, you can't predict any of this stuff. You can't control any of that stuff. You can only control, you know, how you adapt to the situation. So it was like, I'm in this trail, there's downed trees, how am I going to handle that? There's a lot of water that we have to go over, the bridges are slippery. You know, like these are all things that you have to just manage. And that's what I kind of love about trail racing, is because I feel like every race I'm learning a piece of like a bigger puzzle. Like I raced the Smith Rock 50K and it was really muddy. So I've run in mud before. You know, I ran a half marathon in the snow. So I've run in snow before. You know, just like each of these like little pieces teach you something, and then you're able to like manage the trail itself. Like you're learning, you're consistently learning. And that's what I love about it, because it's not just like, how fast can you run this? It's just being like very strategic and also, you know, managing whatever comes your way, which is really cool. Okay. So I guess I got down to the descent. I'm climbing, walking. I also tried to do this thing I think I talked about before, which is like run 3 steps, walk 3 steps, run 3 steps, walk 3 steps. Cause I don't feel like I'm a very fast walker, even when, I mean, maybe in the steepest part of the climbs, but like when we're kind of like, it's kind of steep, but kind of not, I just feel like I'm not doing anything, but like running isn't, but like putting like more effort into running isn't going to ultimately help me get to where I want to be. So I have to walk in certain places. I'm still like managing. This is like one of the things that I'm still like learning how to do, as well as like, and we'll go over this at the end, but like also like the transitions through aid stations. But, you know, like I'm running, walking, running, walking. I get to a point, you know, like there's a lot in the middle between, you know, it's all blurred, but, between like the first part of the race, felt okay. There was a decent amount of climbing, before the 21 mile mark. Like I said, it's like 8,500 feet you're climbing. And at one section, I believe, Mount Constitution is like the steepest section, and that's at the end. So like, I would run what I could run. And then when I got to places where it was flat or downhill, I tried to like check in with myself, see if I could go faster without putting too much effort out. And I'm eating like every 45 minutes and drinking water consistently. I did, as far as that goes, I did, I brought like 1.5 liters of water and enough nutrition for every 45 minutes for 6 hour race. Cause I didn't think it was going to take me longer than 6 hours. Little did I know it was going to take me over 6 hours. So anyways, back to the course, I guess, like I said, like off and on tried, I was catching people. I would pick people up. Also, we had like some early starts. So some people started at 7 a.m., which is actually awesome. If they ever asked me like things that I liked, I really did like that they had early start, because there was people on the trail. Like you weren't by yourself. I feel like I would have been a lot more on my own if there wasn't people that had started early. So that was really nice. And so that was cool, just seeing people, good job, passing people. And then, like I said, trying to pick it up where I could and strategically going over logs, running through puddles. At a certain point, you know, I wore Gore-Tex shoes, and I really am unsure if it was a good thing or a bad thing, because once Gore-Tex gets water in there, there's no water coming back out. So, you know, I was like, was it better to just wear regular shoes and have wet feet, or these Gore-Tex shoes? So I don't know. I really don't. I really didn't have wet feet for the first like 4 miles, but after that it was like you're running through puddles, so there's nothing you could do. Like it was very, very wet, but and it's Washington, so you're running through rivers when you're running on trails. I'm not complaining. It is very beautiful. And so anyways, I get to Mount Constitution, which was 21 miles in. You hit an aid station right before it. And at that aid station, I had planned to get water. So I worked my way through the 1.5 liters up to 21 miles. And so I got water and I was like, oh my gosh, this, because I had been drinking like electrolyte mix. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this water tastes so good. And then immediately got a cramp in my stomach. So I was like, oh, I should have probably got electrolytes. Not in a major way or anything, like just whatever. It was just ironic more than anything. So I got that. And I started the climb up to Mount Constitution, and it literally is up Powerline Trail. But like at certain points, you're just going up this like grassy embankment. It's not really a trail. it's just up. And so you're going, so it's so steep that you can't really run. I run walk what I can't really run. And then I, you know, do the ultra runner like hike march thing where you put your hands on your legs and you push. But through that section, which was like me when I got there, I was like, this is where the race starts, and you know, you can do this, like you have it in your legs, let's go. You know, like I was very positive at that point. Like I said, I started a little bit negative, but I worked my way into a positive attitude, which I was very proud of. And I also think sometimes it's like, I tell myself when I feel really crappy that it's going to feel bad, and then it's going to feel better, and then it's going to feel bad, and then it's going to feel better, because I know that at certain points of the race, like I'm going to feel like garbage, and then I'll feel better again. And it doesn't really matter how you feel, because you're just trying to get done. And the faster you go, the faster you get done. And so I started hiking up this hill, and I see a woman that was ahead of me. And I was like, okay, there's one. And then I saw a woman ahead of her, and I was like, okay, there's two. And it was my goal to like just really push on these hills. Like that's what I was here at. And so I told myself, this is the workout. One time up Mount Constitution, and then as hard as you can down. Like that is the workout. And so I just over and over in my head, I was like, this is the workout. This is the workout. You know, so I'm pushing myself as hard as I can. Also, the two women that were by me were like also like really pushing too. It was awesome to see. And it was just like really a point at which like really helped me stay focused in that area. And mind you, like we were doing like 17 minute pace miles. Like these are very, very slow miles. We're just like pushing as fast as we can walking up these hills. And I got up after I like passed two women, which also I was like really nervous about that, because I was like, this seems very confident, Jackie, like you're going to try to pass these people on the hill. And so I really pushed and finally got to the top of Mount Constitution, because you go straight, you turn, and then you're going up again, and then you're turning, you're going up and then up and up and up. And it's a very, very, very long climb up to the top of Mount Constitution, especially after you've run so many miles to get there. And, you know, I get to the top, we're at the aid station, I get electrolyte mix. I really didn't think I was going to fill up my water twice, because the first fill up would have been 2 liters and it was raining. And I just thought I would have like had wanted less liquids, but apparently I didn't. So I didn't end up drinking all of that second fill up, but I did utilize it. So after running downhill, which is kind of like running through a river again, it's Washington. And there was like this just like muddy water that was flowing down it. So unfortunately you couldn't really see the rocks, but I was like trying to just loosely fall down the hill and like relax into the, you know, down. And I was like, you know, the entire time I was thinking, no, there's those two people or women behind you. And then also like, who knows who else is coming? Everybody is tired. Like, just do this the best that you can. You're going downhill. You like going downhill, just like falling down the hill. And my legs felt very like tired at that point. But still like still controllable, manageable. Like they were doing what I wanted them to do. And I was like, you know, so I felt pretty good, like going down the hill, and it was pretty steep in some sections, and then it would even out. And when it would even out, that was really nice. And then at a certain point, as I was going downhill, I realized I was losing my toenail, which is another thing that I wanted to look into, is just like maybe some better shoes. Cause like I literally lost two toenails the last time I raced. And now I'm losing my big toenail, and I could feel it like every step like hitting. And I was like, other people are losing their toenails too. Like, you're not the only one with this. Like, just manage it and get, you know, get through this, get done with the race. And, you know, it was not the worst like pain or anything like that. It was just taking me out of it, like taking out of like relaxing into the fall, because I was like trying to manage my toe. So that was a little bit annoying, but other than like the really steep descent, it was okay. It was manageable. It didn't feel that bad. So then also I just like, again, had it in the back of my head, like somebody's coming right behind you. Like they're pushing like really hard right now. And so I kept going downhill, downhill. And of course, you're always like looking for the road. Like, where's the road? Once I see the road, I'll be close to the end. And so I ran downhill. I knew there was two hills at the end. And so I hit the first one, which they're both very small, but they felt really much bigger. I hit the first one and I kind of like jogged-ish up the hill. And like, that was my goal. Like, don't walk anymore. Like, you don't need to save your legs for anything. Like, just keep pushing, push, push, push. And then I got to the second hill and I was like running, but I was like not really running. So I was like, oh my God, I have to walk this. This is ridiculous. Like, I just like my legs were not doing what I wanted them to do. And so then I kept going to when I did see the road, which was a beautiful moment. And then I realized I had to run up this like little hill. I feel like I was running so slow at this point. Like, I was trying to run faster and, yeah, it just was not happening for me. But I did push as soon as I got to that point, and tried to sprint it in, at the end as well, which was, probably not fast. Maybe it was like 9 minutes instead. You know, I finished and it was probably one of the hardest races I had ever raced. I ran like much slower than my last race. And I think mentally that was much harder because I ran like 6 hours and 34 minutes. And like I said, I was planning for this race not to be, I knew it was going to be long. Like, I knew it was going to be longer than like my fastest course. Cause I knew, you know, if it's rainy and wet and there's logs and you have to walk a lot of the hills and it's very steep and there's a lot of climbing, like, I know it's going to be a longer course. It's just going to take you longer. Like, if you go out for a long run, you know, it's going to take you, or you're not going to run as many miles in your long run for that day because it's so like, just so technical. So that was understood. But what I didn't like, I think my biggest oversight was how much downhill I would be running. And that I feel like was one thing that I could have done better would be to train more downhills. that was like, that was the thing I feel like I missed and maybe in my training. But honestly, like, nothing is going to make that feel good. But I think like the combination of all the downhill and the fact that I was just on the course for so long, made it pretty difficult. And I was just really proud that I like challenged myself in that way because I knew how it was going to go. I knew it was going to be difficult. I knew that going into it. And yes, I did have sort of a bad attitude going into it, but you know, I really wanted this experience because like I said before, it's all just about the experience, about learning how to manage in every condition imaginable. And I feel like this one was particularly difficult because it was not ideal weather conditions. And even on like, even, yes, this course would have been much better if it was, had been a little more dry. But like, it was also like the running in the rain and it being cold and like having your body have to manage that too. So like, I think it was just such a good like experience and such a good place for me to like learn as an athlete and like being able to manage this situation. So I was really grateful for that experience. It's also very gratifying to be so sore at the end of a race. Cause like, I feel like I've run a couple and I've been pretty sore, but I have not been this sore before. So I know that I really like pushed as hard as I could go, which I can like really appreciate about my body and like mentally that I was able to do that. So that was very enjoyable, in a type 2 fun sort of way. also what I'd like to learn is how to go through aid stations a little bit more efficiently and strategically. Because every time I go through an aid station, I feel like I'm like, okay, yes, I need water. And then I'm like juggling the long water bottle into my pack. And it's like, it's really hard. I'm just sitting there shaking it, trying to get it in. And like, I know that there's handhelds. Like my first 50K I ran, like, I think I did a handheld before. There's ups and downs for those too. I mean, it was a very slippery technical course. I don't know if that I really wanted to be with something in my hand for the Orcas 50K, but still, I mean, I would really like to nail that down and figure out what works for me. I definitely am fine with carrying my nutrition. It's just much more of a, like, a liquid situation that I'd like to get ironed out. And then, yeah, just going up, and I would like to run some other longer hills and just see how it affects me overall if I do some, like, longer trail runs, and seeing how that goes, and learning a little bit more about where my my edge is, just figuring out where the tipping point between what's really taking it out of your legs and what you could push through if you wanted to. So that's another thing that I want to kind of really dig into this year. And then the other parts that I'm really excited about is just, like, what else I can kind of get into, like, what other terrains I can get into to try and run hard on. And if I want to go longer, which I don't know. I think there's a lot of other things that I need to figure out first before I do that. But talking about goals for this year, I want to do something maybe another 50K in the late summer. And then I also might want to do some, like, shorter trail races and get a little stronger. I really want to focus on, like, lifting and feeling strong. That's kind of, like, what I would look forward to, you know, and I climb as well. So I also want to work on some climbing focused goals. I think that's about it. And then post-race, you know, when I get done with running, I do not want to eat. I don't want to drink. Just want to sit down. But I did make myself eat a pizza. And I don't know why I cannot sit still when I get done running. I don't see anybody else doing this. And so let me know if this is you too. But after I get done running, like, a 50K, I literally am, like, rocking back and forth. I'm moving around. I seriously just cannot, I can't sit still. I have to, like, keep moving. And I don't know what that is or why I'm like that, but I literally was like, we were eating after post-race and I'm, like, looking around. I'm like, nobody else is doing this. I cannot stop. For some reason, it makes me feel like it feels better. It wasn't until later that I really felt, like, the feeling of hunger. It takes me, like, a day before. And I also have, like, my stomach usually feels fine, knock on wood, but, like, it just feels like, I don't know, I just don't want anything. And it feels like my digestive system doesn't want anything to deal with either. But like I said, I did eat, and it was probably the best choice. So would love to hear other people's post-race routines. My pre-race, I always like to eat pizza. I wasn't able to find it this time. So I had something else, and I was a little worried about that before my race. I was like, oh, I hope I don't get sick from this. You know, you're always so worried about that. Like, you're going to have some type of issue, especially with, like, those longer races. You know, it's like, you can't just be like, okay, I'll run to the bathroom after. Like, no, you're going to be screwed. You made bad choices and now you have to live with it. So, I mean, not that you intentionally did it, but yeah, sometimes it's just bad food and it happens. And that's why I'm a little worried eating out too. It's like, oh, did I make a good choice? Was this right? But yeah, it was okay. I felt good. But I still missed my pizza pre-race. But yeah, I would love to hear people's pre-race and post-race meals, because that's just interesting. I did want to say is that I found out afterwards, after my race, that I actually was like fourth place for women, which is awesome. But the fifth place woman was only like a minute and a half or so behind me. So, you know, that really proved my point. Like, keep pushing, continually push yourself all the way to the finish line, because you do not know who is behind you. And they might only be a minute and a half, which for a 50K is not very far, especially with how like much I was like not going fast at that end. So there was so much opportunity for her to catch up with me. And so it was just like great that I just kept consistently pushing. And I would encourage everyone else to just keep pushing, because you never know who is right behind you. So my words of empowerment kind of go along with what I learned from Patty Peoples, was just to not count yourself out. And then also I would say, you know what, if you are in a bad headspace, like just work on it, work through it. You know, don't like, sometimes you can get negative because you're in a race, you feel like garbage, and you're like, oh, these other people must feel really good, or I am not doing really well, I'm not good at this. But it's just that, like, it's just the pain talking. Like, you are doing amazing things, and you know, you're challenging yourself, and it's like such an epic adventure. Like, it's not about, yes, I understand, it is about like goals that you've set, but it's also about like just the fact that your body is able to do all of these things and like withstand all of this intensity, and you're pushing yourself through it. Like, that's another part of it. And it's just like you preparing yourself for this adventure and then like doing it. Like, that's incredible. And I think we should appreciate ourselves for that opportunity and adventure, and like putting ourselves in situations where we don't know what the outcome is going to be like, and we know that it's going to be hard, and we're doing it anyways. Like, that is so cool to me, and I was just very proud of everybody who was out there this weekend. Like that race director said at Smith Rock, embrace the suck and just, you know, keep going. I think it was a cool race. I'm very excited about having done it. And I encourage other people who are thinking about racing the Orcas 50K, or I think they have 100, they have a 25K, and I think they have a 100 miler. So whatever you would like to do, I think that it's a good opportunity to challenge yourself, and I would encourage you to do so. So that has been the race report of the Orcas 50K. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Women in Power Active. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and rate our podcast. It really does help us in the podcasting world. And then if you want to follow me personally, you can follow me at Jacqueline Gross, JacqueLynGross. I mostly take pictures of rocks and trees. You can check out UR Sportswear. That's the letter U, the letter R, Sportswear on all social platforms. And you can check out our products at ursportswear.com. If you're listening to this and you want to watch the video version, you can go to UR Sportswear's YouTube channel. That's the letter U, the letter R, space Sportswear. And if you would like to follow the new Women in Power Active Instagram account, that's at Women in Power Active, please do so. And this video was produced by Jeremy Canaria and edited by me. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you next month.